Good morning again. Greetings in Jesus' worthy name. God is an awesome God. His faithfulness is amazing. His mercies are new again this morning. This beautiful Sunday morning, I think we should honor him and lift him. Is God good? Raise your hand. God's good. Amen. God is good. Title to this morning's message is, Do You Have a Speaking Gift? The subtitle is equally important, perhaps. Will you use it? I'm convinced there are speaking gifts here in our church here at Calvary. There are speaking gifts here, and that they have been given for use in this local body. And the question is, will you use these gifts to build this local body? I challenge you. I beseech you this morning, use your gift. We need you and your gift in this body if it is to grow and be healthy. This message is a third in a series on spiritual gifts. And we will be looking at three texts outside of the book of Corinthians today. We're preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians, but we're moving outside just a little bit for background scriptures on the area of gifts. Ephesians, Romans, and 1 Peter today. A few years back, a couple named Sandy and Teresa boarded a flight in New York City to fly to Orlando and see Disney World. Teresa was almost 7 months pregnant. 30 minutes into the flight, Teresa doubled over in pain and began bleeding. Flight attendants announced that they needed a doctor, and a Long Island internist volunteered. Teresa soon gave birth to a boy, but the baby was in trouble. The umbilical cord was wrapped tightly around his neck, and he wasn't breathing. His face was blue. Two paramedics rushed forward to help, including one specialized in infant respiratory procedures. He asked if anyone had a straw, which he wanted to use to suction fluid from the baby's lungs. The plane did not stock straws, but a flight attendant remembered having a straw left over from a juice box she had bought on board the plane. The paramedic inserted the straw into the baby's lungs as the internist administered CPR. The internist asked for something he could use to tie off the umbilical cord. A passenger offered a shoelace. 4 minutes of terror passed. Then the little baby whimpered. Soon the crew was able to joyfully announce that it was a boy, and everybody on board cheered and clapped. The parents gave the little boy the name Matthew. Matthew means God sent. The people on board the plane were all God sent, the father said. God had indeed met their need through people who gave what they had and did what they could. God usually meets needs through people. There are literally people all around us crying out for help. And some of us don't have the gifting that we need to minister to those people. That's why God gave us the church, to minister to those in special ways. God gave the Holy Spirit to each of us as believers. He gave the Holy Spirit and a gift of the Spirit. Each one of you here have a gift from the Holy Spirit to be used to minister to those people out there in the world. And God has enabled us to do that. And people are crying out for that. My intention for the message this morning is to be intensely practical. Possibly help someone to recognize a gift that you have, to recognize a working of the Holy Spirit in you, and to encourage you to use that gift for God's glory. Everyone has been given a gift, at least one gift. The burning question is, will you use that gift? Let's go to the scriptures then. And this morning I'm going to be reading from a couple of different scriptures, three different scriptures. So you may remain seated and I will read from three different ones. The first one is Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 14. If you want to turn to that, I encourage you to follow along as we read these scriptures. This is God's word, and it's important for us to understand that this message is coming from God's word. It's not something that I've concocted in my study. This is God's word speaking today. Ephesians 4 and verse 7 says, But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Skipping down to verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So in this passage of Scripture, we have at least three speaking gifts that are still available to us today are mentioned here. The first one is evangelism. The next one is shepherding. And the third one is teaching. So those three speaking gifts are available to us here at Calvary, and they're mentioned in this passage. And the purpose is of those speaking gifts is to build up the body. To build up the body. Evangelism, shepherding, and teaching. To bring maturity to the body so that we would be no longer children. We neglect our gift and the body doesn't grow up. We each have our part to play in the building of the church. Now, if you would turn to Romans 12 and verse 5. Romans 12 and verse 5 for our second scriptural reading. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in a proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Again, the encouragement is to use the gift that you have for God's glory. And the two speaking gifts that are available to us today are mentioned here, teaching and exhortation. Use them is the command. I appeal to you, use them. The final scripture reading here is 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, if you want to turn in your Bibles over back to 1 Peter 4. And we'll be reading verses 10 and 11. This is kind of the theme of the scripture that I'm basing this message on, and the one in a couple of weeks where we'll be looking at the serving gifts as well. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The two spiritual categories that we've divided the gifts into, the categories for the spiritual gifts that are available today are serving and speaking. He mentions in this scripture that we are stewards of God's grace. So God gives us his grace. God gives each one of us his grace. Without God's grace, we are not going to do very well. We're not going to do well at all without God's grace. And God's grace he has given us this grace. And this part of this grace is the gifts that he gives us for ministry to the church. He has given us this grace. And this grace, or part of that grace, is the gifts of the Spirit. We all know what a steward is, right? A steward manages what is not his. So the gift that we've been given, we are to manage that gift faithfully. We are to be good stewards of that gift. We don't hide that gift. We don't take and put it under a rock, or we don't hide it in a hole somewhere, but we allow the Holy Spirit to use that gift to minister to the church. And that's, as stewards, we are responsible for that. Some of you have been given speaking gifts. And I'm not going to go you, but some of you have been giving speaking gifts. And some of you are sitting on them. You're not using them. And my exhortation to you this morning is, don't do it. Don't just sit on them. Use them for God's glory and for the benefit of the church. Okay, the speaking gifts, as organized in these various charts, are four. We've made three divisions: the sign gifts, the speaking gifts, and the service gifts. These divisions are a little bit arbitrary, perhaps, but I think they serve us well, as in generally speaking. We talked about the sign gifts last Sunday, and today we are looking at the speaking gifts. And there are four on this chart. There's evangelism, there's teaching, there's pastoring, and there's exhortation. Now, depending on your interpretation of the word prophecy, we could also put prophecy here. But I think, strictly speaking, I believe the way that prophecy is used in these gift charts, that is a foretelling and is no longer actually available to us. Yeah, people use the word prophecy as foretelling, and if you use it in that sense, it is a speaking gift. But I think these four basically cover the different categories of speaking gifts. The speaking gifts contribute to the growth of Christ's body in several different ways. They add members to the body through evangelism, that is the gift of evangelism. Souls are won for Christ and his kingdom. They instruct members in the truths of doctrine. They provide care and instruction in shepherding and pastoring. They persuade believers to conform to the principles of God's word that they have learned. And they provide encouragement to members of the body of Christ. They build the body of Christ. The goal of the message today, as I've already said, is to encourage you to discover and use your gift. We need you. We need you. We need you to use that gift at Calvary. Okay, before we get into the actual gifts, I want to give you a few pointers about discovering your gifts. How many of you have yet to discover your gift? Go ahead, raise your hand. You're still in the process of discovering your gift. Yeah. You're in the process. You haven't discovered it yet, but you got one. I assure you, you do have one. And this is part of the process of discovering your gift. And I have a couple of pointers here that we need to go through fairly quickly, but note this down. Number one, be assured that everyone has a gift. I've been trying to say that already. Every one of you as a Christian has a gift. You can't say, okay, I don't have any. God didn't give me any. The Holy Spirit has not given me a gift. That's wrong. You do have a gift. The scripture passages that we read that to each, you see the term to each. To each believer, God has given the gift. So there is a gift. You have been given a gift. And so you need to be assured, first of all, that you do have one. So there you go. You got one. Number two, become familiar with the gifts. Become familiar with the gift. And that's the purpose of these messages that I'm sharing on the gift of the Spirit, is that you become familiar what those gifts are. How can you find it if you don't know what it is that you're looking for? Okay, so become familiar with the gifts. How will you, what's it like? How people act who have this gift? What are the strengths and the weaknesses of this gift and the ways that you can contribute to the body? Number three, and this is a strong encouragement for me to you, is to pray for enlightenment. Okay, you don't know what your gift is. I don't know what my gift is. Pray that you will discover it. I pray that you will discover it. And you need to pray for yourself that you will discover your gift. Some of you don't want to know. Okay, some of you don't want to know what your gift is. I don't know what my gift is. And so you sit there on your hands. Because I don't know what my gift is. How can a person know? Okay. You got to pray. God, show me what my gift is. Number four, experiment. Experiment. You can't go wrong, okay? You can't go wrong. You say, well, I don't know. I might have the gift of teaching. And along comes the superintendent and says, hey, teach this class. Go for it. You can't flop, but so bad. Go for it. Experiment with your gift. You think you might have the gift of exhortation, encouraging people. Go for it. You can't go wrong with any of these gifts. Go for it. So you may not actually have the gift, but there's nothing wrong in doing these things. So go for it. Give it. Experiment with it. Try it out. Go for it. Yeah, you'll be embarrassed maybe, possibly. Doesn't matter. Does not matter at all. People will applaud you for trying. Okay? Number five, self-evaluation. How did you feel after you exercised your gift? How did you feel when you got done? Did you feel rewarded? Did you feel blessed that you were using your gift? Do some self-evaluation of how you felt about using that gift. The satisfaction that you felt, the way you edified a part of the body. Finally, in discovering your gift, the reaction of mature Christians to that. The reaction of mature Christians to that. How did people react to when you used that gift? The mature ones. Now, the immature ones, don't worry what they said. Okay, don't worry about the naysayers. Okay, don't worry about them. You don't need to listen to what they said. But the mature Christian, someone you respect as a godly Christian father or mother in the church, go ahead and you know, what did they say to you about your use of your gift? Go ahead and listen to them. I remember as a young man in the church, my previous church that I was in, I taught Sunday school. And one of the biggest encouragements to me to maybe understand that I might have the gift of teaching is that an older minister who sat in my Sunday school class came up and just expressed appreciation for the teaching. And you know what? That did wonders for me. Then I realized, you know what? Maybe I do have a gift of teaching. Maybe I do have the gift of teaching. And so listen to what the mature have to say about you exercising your gifts. So there you go. These are some things that you can do to explore and find your spiritual gift. These six things. Okay, we want to talk specifically about the four gifts of speaking gifts this morning. And so we'll begin with the gift of evangelism. Some of you here have the gift of evangelism. Some of you have the gift of evangelism. It's a unique gift. All of us need to evangelize. Don't get me wrong. All of us need to be a witness for Christ. All of us need to speak about our faith. But some of you do it better than others. Agree with that? Yeah? Yep. Yep. Some of you do better with others because other people respond better than they would to me. And I have personally seen that. It's just, you know, you talk and you be persuasive. I could talk and be persuasive. And I'm not a good salesperson, by the way. I couldn't sell a hungry person bread. But the person who is an evangelist can speak to someone and he can witness to him. And he may not even be eloquent about it. He may not even know all the best techniques. But they speak to someone and the Holy Spirit has given them the gift of evangelism. And that gift of evangelism speaks into the heart of the person who is listening. And they say, yes, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I need Christ. That's a gift of evangelism. We need you here at Calvary. The example in the Bible is of Philip the evangelist. The Bible knows him as Philip the evangelist. Philip was the evangelist. Acts 21, verse 8, on the next day we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. So Philip the evangelist is identified as evangelist. We all know the story about Philip, right? And the eunuch. Philip was an evangelist. He was traveling down the road to Gaza. And there was this guy from somewhere in Africa, probably a dark-skinned man from Ethiopia. And he was traveling along in this chariot. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip, and he says, you know, get up close to the chariot. And he heard the man reading from the book of Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, no, how can I? So Philip hops up on the chariot with him, and he witnessed to him. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I asked, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. That's the gift of evangelism. Philip had the gift of evangelism. And the man responded. The man responded. You know, he said, what stops me from being baptized? So they got off the chariot and they went right down into the little pond there, and he baptized him right on the spot. And Philip was taken away, and the man went on his way rejoicing. That is evangelism. I have a brother-in-law who's an evangelist. My brother Philip, his name is Philip Dendinger. Philip was a hippie, young hippie that got saved over in Europe. Okay, he was traveling at 17 years of age, you can believe this, across Europe and all the way over to India. Some of the places was hitchhiking through some of the most dangerous country in the world. But Philip is like that. And so Philip was hitchhiking his way down to South America. And we lived in Central America, in Belize. And Philip was walking along the road. And my father was driving along the road. And he picked him up as a hitchhiker and brought him into our family. Okay. Philip married my sister. And they became missionaries to Spain for quite a number of years. And then to Albania for many years in Albania, Eastern Europe. And they're back in the States now. They're getting up there in years. But Philip is still going down to Mexico as we speak and witnessing to the would-be migrants along the border there, on the other side of the border in Matamoros and places like that in Mexico. And people are getting saved. Philip has the gift of evangelism. Yes, he does. People respond to Philip's ministry that way. Some of you have got it. I don't know how many of you have it, but this body needs it. Body needs you as an evangelist. And how will you know if you have it if you don't use it? Speak to someone. You don't have to have the gift to evangelize, but if you speak to someone and you see that changing in their heart, that's a real affirmation that you have, in fact, the gift of evangelism. There are two types of, it's a ministry of conversion. There's public evangelism and there are private evangelisms. We often think of an evangelist as someone who goes to a church and speaks publicly. That is one type. There are those that you can think of that had that gift in a public speaking, but there more often it's a private encounter that you are one-on-one and somebody gets saved. All of us are to be witnesses, don't get me wrong, but some of you have the gift of evangelism. And guess what? You've got beautiful feet. Ever wonder about that scripture? You've got beautiful feet. So I guess you could know if you have the gift of evangelism, take off your shoes. Maybe not. Don't do it here. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So that's a gift of evangelism. You know what it is. You need to explore to see if maybe you have it and use it for the glory of God. We need, the kingdom of God needs you to use this speaking gift. The next one is the gift of teaching. The gift of teaching. We have teachers here in our midst today. Some of you know that there are teachers. And some of you are still sitting on your hands and you're not using your gift properly. Life is a matter of building. Each of us has the opportunity to build something, a secure family, a good reputation, a career, a relationship to God. But some of these things can disappear almost overnight due to financial losses, natural disasters, and other unforeseen difficulties. What are we to do? Daniel Webster offers excellent advice, saying, "If we work on marble, it will perish. If we work on brass, time will efface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble to dust. But if we work on men's immortal minds, if we imbue them with high principles, with just fear of God and love of their fellow men, we engrave on those tablets something which time cannot efface and which will brighten and brighten to all eternity." That is the teacher. The teacher engraves on people's minds something that will not be lost for eternity. The gift of teaching is a very important one. And you may say you're kind of presumptuous, but I think I have the gift of teaching. I would say that over years it has been shown that I have the gift of teaching. As we go down through these characteristics, tell me if I'm wrong or right. Look at what a teacher is and what a teacher does. Okay, the characteristics of the teacher. Number one, a crusader for truth. That is a teacher. A teacher is a crusader for truth. He's passionate about correcting error before it leads to apostasy. A teacher receives special delight in uncovering facts or insights. A teacher places a great deal of emphasis on the original language and their meanings. Second characteristic is fearless of conflict. A teacher, even though they may internally be fearful of conflict, they need to not worry about it, okay? And I'm going to stand up front here. I'll tell you right up front. I'm going to say stuff that you're going to not agree with, and I'm going to say it anyway. Yep. Another characteristic is studious. A teacher is studious, someone who studies. Study the word. Spend great time in study. Good study habits. Another characteristic of the gift of teaching is diligence. So these are some characteristics. You got these. Some of you have them. Some of them have, and you may very well have the gift of teaching. Folks, we need you. We need you in this church. The worldwide church needs you. And we need you particularly at Calvary. The gift of teaching often finds itself as one that carries a heavy responsibility in the church. Gift of teaching is one that finds itself with heavy responsibility in the church. James chapter 3 says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body." There is a grave responsibility in teaching, to be diligent, to be studious, to be fearless of conflict, and to be a crusader for truth. But some of you have been given that gift. And I'm not going to point out to you, and you, but some of you have the gift of teaching. Some of you have the gift of teaching, and it's a very important part of this church life. You have the gift of teaching. Don't sit on it. I beseech you, don't sit on it. There is so much reward for the body, for you, for God's kingdom, in you accepting that teaching role and using it for the glory of God. The third gift of speaking gift is the gift of shepherding. This may be a term that you're not as familiar with, but it is listed in the lists of gifts that we read this morning. The gift of shepherding, and it is exactly what it sounds like. It's like a shepherd. It's like a shepherd with sheep. It's like a shepherd who is gentle with the little lambs. It's like a shepherd who carries a rod and a staff with him. It's a shepherding that's looking out for the well-being of those you're ministering to. That's what shepherding is about. 1 Peter 5 says, "So I exhort the elders among you as fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." That's the reward of the gift of shepherding. It's a very responsible thing that some of you should be doing here in this church, especially those in leadership. It's very important that they be shepherds, but it's not only limited to leaders. A shepherd can be one in the youth group. A shepherd can be in other parts of the church where you are a shepherd. You care about the sheep. You're willing to sacrifice yourself for the sheep. That is what shepherding is all about. And boy, do we need that in our church. We need shepherds, faithful shepherds, shepherds that will gather the strays around and keep them from going off into the mountain, and to sacrifice his own self for the sheep. Characteristics of the shepherd are as follows: desire and ability to stimulate growth, enjoys guiding, mentoring, and nurturing. The term mentor is an important one here. As a shepherd, you become a mentor. And I could preach a whole message on mentoring. Mentoring is something that we don't do enough of, taking someone under our wing and mentoring them. Mentoring is so important in the church, where someone needs a father figure. Maybe they don't have a father figure of their own, and they never really had one. And you take them under their wing, or your mother figure, and you mentor them. And that's part of shepherding. Wants to protect people from harmful influences and help bind up the wounded. That is so characteristic of a shepherd. Have a following of people who trust them. These are characteristics of a shepherd. People who trust them. He that thinketh he leadeth and has no one following him is only taking a walk. A person who has got people following us. So that's the gift of shepherding. We have shepherds here. We have shepherds here. I would like you to use that gift for the glory of God, please. Use your gift of shepherding. Step up to the plate and become a shepherd. Maybe there's a troubled young person in this congregation. Maybe somebody who's misusing social media. You need to take him maybe under your wing and shepherd them kindly, gently. Take and shepherd that person and say, "Look, you know, this, you're a bad sheep. Okay, don't be doing this. But you can become a good sheep, okay? You can follow the way you should." That's the gift of shepherding. Finally, the gift of exhortation. The gift of exhortation. This is a very encouraging one. A gift of exhortation is basically, the word exhortation comes from the Greek words that means calling someone to your side. Stepping up to someone and calling them to your side. You're basically an encourager. Exhortation can, encouragement can take the term, the form of good instruction, or it can be just, "Yeah, Way to go. Way to go. Way to go. Exhortation is, I like what you did. Keep doing it. Go for it. You can do it. Exhortation. That's the one who has the gift of exhortation is one that exhorts others into good paths. Some of the characteristics are of the exhorter is advising, pleading. Exhortation takes a form of pleading. Step up to somebody and plead with them. Plead with them. To exhort is to plead with someone. Encouraging someone. Warning someone, look, the path you're going down is not headed in the right direction. Doesn't always work to warn things. I can tell you right up front, it doesn't always work, but you are being faithful when you warn. I know as a pastor in a previous life, I remember warning a young person about the cliff that's over there, and they jumped. But I did what I should do in exhorting and advising. And that's what exhortation is. It's strengthening. It's comforting. That's exhortation. Sometimes you, as with the gift of exhortation, just need to walk with someone. Maybe they've got a struggle in their life. And all you need to do is walk with them. You don't even have to say hardly anything. You don't know what to say. When somebody's going through some deep stuff and you don't even know what to say, just call them up and say, can I come over? Can I come over and spend time with you? Can we go out to breakfast? Can we do whatever together? Maybe we need to go on a hike. Maybe we need to do whatever together. And just being there for someone during times of toughness is the gift of exhortation. And we need you here. We need you here at Calvary is the one who has the gift and uses the gift of exhortation. Okay, the message is going on. We need to end with a call to action. The time is going on is what I'm meaning to say. The scripture that we read earlier, I want to leave that as an exhortation for us. As each has received a gift, and each of you have, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Use it. I plead with you, use it. Do you have a speaking gift? Maybe. Some of you do. Do you have the gift of evangelism? Do you have the gift of teaching, maybe? Or shepherding or exhortation? Think about this. Pray about it. Break out that gift and use it for the glory of God. We'll call for a song.